All right, we'll continue our study of the book of Romans tonight, if you'll open to chapter 9. And we'll pick up right where we left off here a couple of weeks ago. And as I'll remind you, that chapter 9 begins a new section of the book of Romans. And you can really title this Israel and the Gospel of Righteousness, or the Gospel of Christ. And last week in chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, we saw the unique place of Israel and why they were special and why they are special to God. And I want to pick up tonight in verses, this covers verses 6 and 7 tonight. If I was going to title this, I would title it, "Not Everyone That Thinks They're Special Is As Special As They Think They Are." Amen. So we'll pick up right here in Romans 9. You with me, gents? Give me verses 6 and 7, please, sir. "Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called." You know, there was a concern here, and Paul was concerned, that as he was testifying to Israel's special place in the heart of God, that the folks would look at that and say, "Now, wait a minute, what about the church? Because God's now saving Gentiles, and God's now replacing Israel." And Paul said, that's true, but there's a couple of things here I want you to notice. And he said, the first thing is that God's promise to Israel has not fallen through. It has not failed. And he said, if you think about it, there were two major points of that promise that God gave Abraham. The first was that God would give him a seed. God would give him a seed, a son, through whom a great nation would be born. And Abraham, so doing, would become the father of a great nation. And second, God promised Abraham that he would cause all nations to be blessed through his seed. Now, the scriptures tell us that Abraham did exactly what God required. He believed God, and he followed God, not knowing where God would lead him. Now, folks, let me just say this. You did the same thing when you came to Christ. If you came, in fact, by faith. Because what God said, if you do these things, I will save your soul, I will forgive your sin, I will give you an eternity in heaven, and I will guide your life. And you didn't know where that was going to take you. You had no clue. Now, I bet if you asked Brother Jerry Patel, when he got saved, if he thought he would ever be walking through fairs with a dummy on his shoulder. Okay, never, right? Never, right? Because you don't know. And that's what faith means. Faith means I believe, even though I don't know. Now, I want you to see several things before we go any farther. That first of all, and this is a point that Paul is making here, the Bible's making here, that Abraham and his seed were the only ones to whom God gave the promise. Now, Galatians 3:16 helps us with this. Flip over there. Galatians 3:16, and the Bible says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." By the way, this verse is very similar to that verse we looked at Sunday when Jesus used just a verb tense to prove the inspiration of Scripture, or to show the inspiration of Scripture. This thing, he's using the difference between a verb or a plural and a singular in the Old Testament. He's saying every letter of that Bible is inspired. So he says, "And to seeds, as to many, but as of one, and to the seed, which is Christ." Now, to Abraham and one particular seed were these promises made, which is Jesus. Now, only a promise was given to Abraham. Back in Genesis 12, God didn't tell him everything that was going to happen. He didn't give him any information but the promise. God did not identify the country. He didn't tell Abraham where he was to go. Okay? He didn't tell Abraham when Sarah would have a seed from whom the promised nation would come. All he said was, these things are going to happen. He didn't tell him how or when. Okay? Now, how often do you work on that premise? Huh? How often do you work on that promise? God made a promise, and all Abraham had to go on was that promise. Right. Now, there was one condition attached. Abraham had to believe God and go. right? But there were no works involved here. It was simply, did Abraham believe God enough to pack his stuff? Okay. And Abraham did. Go back to Genesis 12. Abraham did believe God. Abraham did exactly what God asked him to do. Now, in verse 1, I'm sorry, Genesis 12, 1, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, on the land that I will show thee. There's the command, and then here's the promise. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And verse 4 is the wonderful part. So Abram departed. As the Lord has spoken unto him. Now, I like the way Abram responds to the Word of God. Okay, remember when he told him to sacrifice Isaac? I mean, what did he say? In the morning he arose. And they left, you know. And so Abraham did believe God. He packed his stuff and went. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, go back into Romans, and this time look at chapter 4 and verse 3. Because Abraham was counted righteous because of his belief, because of his faith. Romans 4:3 says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. God didn't count Abraham righteous because of what he did. Okay? God counted Abraham righteous because he believed. And God took his faith, he counted his faith for righteousness. Now, the proof that Abraham believed was that he did what God said. Okay? His faith preceded his obedience. He believed God, and then he obeyed God. And you know what? If he had not believed God, he wouldn't have packed up and left. He wouldn't have left familiar surroundings. He wouldn't have left meaningful relationships. He wouldn't have left all those things that he had in Ur. But he did believe God. And so he packed his bags. And the fact that he did as God asked him to do is a simple evidence that he believed the promise. Now, second, the next thing I want you to see is that the man who believes God is the man who receives the promises of God. Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now here, it's written, or here the writing gives us an idea that neither heritage or nationality, not merit, not works, not law, not rules, have anything to do with the promises of God. The children of Abraham are those who believe God, and they are those who believe God of any nation and any time. Okay? Not just Jews. Galatians 3, verses 6 and 7 said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So, in fact, God's promise that a nation would be born to Abraham and his seed was a promise of an eternal nation. And that eternal nation was to be of another world. Not here, but in a world to come. A spiritual world. Now, every citizen in that world is going to be a believer. Okay? That means I'm in. Okay? I hope you're in. Alright? You know what? That makes you a seed of Abraham. Now, what the passage says here is that they who believe are the children of Abraham, the children of God's promise, and they are to be blessed along with Abraham one day in a new heaven and a new earth as God fulfills all of the promises. See, not everybody who thought they were special was. Okay? And that's what the Scripture is teaching us here, that it was those who followed Abraham by faith, or followed Abraham in his faith, that are the children of Abraham. Now, let's go on back to Romans chapter 9, verse 6, and let's pick up the second half of that. It says, not as though the word of God hath not taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Okay? Now, you can say that way, or you can say that the children of God are not any particular race or institution. Now, there are a lot of Jews who believe they were the children of God just because they were Jews. just because they were Israelites, because they were reared in the Jewish religion. And the Jewish people reverenced God and His law, and they were a God-fearing people, but those Jews felt like, well, I'm a child of God by being a citizen of Israel. Okay, now this is the church age. Okay. Now, they all believe, or many of them believe, that God's promise to Abraham meant that every citizen of the nation of Israel was a child of God as long as he was circumcised and practiced the religion of Judaism. They were getting in the same way they always got in. Now, folks, a lot of people still think the same thing, except now they're thinking about Christianity. They believe they're Christians because they're citizens of a Christian nation, or they're partakers in some kind of a Christian institution. And they believe they're acceptable to God because they profess belief in God and been baptized and been made a member of a church. That's not the way it works. A person does not become a child of God by being a citizen of a particular nation. I recall one incident. We were in Ukraine. We had a Nigerian fellow who was attending the church there, and he was about this tall, and he was about the color of that piano, okay? I mean, he was Nigerian, right? And he was a witness, and he was a fervent witness. He loved the Lord. He loved sharing Christ with people, and he would share Christ with these Ukrainians, and their answer, he was challenged on this. He said, what do you mean? He said, we've been a Christian nation for 1,000 years. How long has your nation been Christian? And they missed the whole point. See, what he was giving them was Jesus, and what they were giving him was religion. And it wasn't going to work. Okay? It wasn't going to work. And you know, we do the same thing here. If you talk to somebody, well, you know, I'm the one answer that my favorite answer is, I'm Catholic. Okay? The next time somebody asks me that, I'm going to say, why are you Catholic? Okay, because really, that's the gist of the matter. Being Catholic does not make you saved. Okay, and in fact, like being Ukrainian, it can hinder you being saved because you think you have no need of anything else. And so that's what's happened to these Jews. And when Paul writes this, when he says that they're not all Israel, which are of Israel, he's saying the same thing. Look, they're not all Christian that claim to be, that are Catholic or Methodist or even Baptist, okay? Not everybody's Christian. Folks, it's not an earthly institution or a material church that makes us acceptable to God. John 1:12-13, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, not of the will of the man, but of God. Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Folks, these are the folks who think they're okay, but they're not okay. And that was what was going on with these Jews. They all thought they were okay, but they weren't going to get there. Well, go on to verse number 7. And it says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You know, the children of God are not of any particular parentage or heritage. And this is similar to what I just talked about. But, you know, he says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. The true children of God are not of a particular parentage. They're not necessarily Jews. And many Jews felt they were children of God because they were children of Abraham, one of the great servants of God. Matthew 3:9, Jesus commented on that. He said, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. They were resting in the godliness of Abraham, in his reputation, in his work, feeling that his godliness would cover them. They rested in the promises that God made to Abraham, thinking that those promises automatically applied to them. And many Jews believed they were children of God because of their heritage. They simply trusted in the fact that their parents and so many others and their grandparents and great-grandparents and great-grandparents, they all worshiped the God of Judaism. They were all Jewish. They were okay, and I'm okay too. Well, you know what? Folks are still trusting that godly heritage to save them. And this is a Baptist disease, okay? Because they think that their godly minister, their pastor will save them, their wife or their husband, their friends, their parents. Well, I've, how many times have you heard this? Well, are you a Christian? Well, I grew up in a Christian home. Okay. And you know, I'm so accustomed to that answer, we know how to answer that one, right? Okay. All right. You just keep working at it. So I say, that's wonderful. That's a great advantage to a human being, but okay, that's not what gets you to heaven. And you can go on and you can tell them about that. You know, honestly, few people think that God will really reject them. You know, they're humbling along in their life, and they think when it's all said and done, and they get to heaven, they have their chance, they're just going to slip in. Yep. You know, I warned you about that bluegrass song, okay? If you ever hear it, you can turn the radio. But it says, I'm just a hobo on a freight train to heaven. I don't have a ticket. I'm just stealing a ride, you know. And every time I hear it, I cringe theologically, okay, you know, because folks, it's not going to work. But there's so many people who believe that's exactly what will happen. They'll get right to the gate and they'll slide in. Somehow they think there's enough of God that'll rub off on them from somebody else they know or from something they know or from somewhere they've been that God will get them through. Well, we got some scripture for that one too, right? Matthew 7, verse 21. Yeah, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Luke 3, 8, similar passage. There's so many warnings. Jesus especially he warned again and again and again about false religion. Luke 3:8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And then back in our original chapter of Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You know, we're going to go into a section here next that the Calvinists think is their like magnus opus here in Romans 9:10. But the bottom line is, if we will remember the things that we're looking at now, that those who receive the promise are those who share the faith of Abraham. And if we look at these scriptures in light of the context that the Bible gives us, you know, we teach, this Bible teaches election according to foreknowledge, okay, and free will. It does not teach Calvinism. And as we go through this, we'll be pointing out those differences. But the basis there is that matter of faith. Have you come to Jesus? And that's going to be the deciding factor. Who are the children of God? Those who come to him by faith. And invariably, that faith is accompanied. True and living faith is accompanied by obedience. Your faith ought to change your life. I've said many times, and I'll keep saying it, that, Lord, you cannot be saved. You cannot have the Holy Spirit come up and take residence in you, change you. You cannot move from a dead spirit to a living spirit and nothing change in your life. Yeah. It cannot happen. Okay. So when that faith, when true living Bible faith comes in, it's going to be accompanied by obedience. Folks, that's what we're looking for. Now, I'm looking tonight at folks I've known for a while. Okay, but honestly, I know what's on the outside. I don't have a clue what's on the inside. You and God know that. Okay. But I want to encourage you tonight that you know, always, always, you should be able to go back to a point in your life where you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, because nobody's going to be grandfathered in. Okay, nobody's going to slip in. There, I heard that put just a great way not too long ago. I'm getting senile, Jerry. Okay. But true and living faith, as I said, you should be able to find a point. You should know that you're born of God, you've changed, and then you should realize that I am now a child of God, okay, and I am a brother, a son of Abraham by faith, because I share the faith that he had. Now, okay, we're not taking the Jews' place. There are still promises that God made to Israel that are going to be true. We'll see more of them. And next week we'll go on with this, and we'll talk about how the children of God are those who believed in God's promises in verses 7 through 13. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the evening you've given us. And Father, I do pray that we might take these things to heart, that, Lord, we would realize that a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, by faith, that is the one path. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And Father, there is no other way but by him. Lord, is a road that we walk by faith. And Lord, we step out, just like Abraham, not knowing where that road will lead. But Father, I pray, Lord, for everyone here tonight that we do know, that we are sure. And Lord, I pray that we not only be sure about ourselves, but Father, we'd not let others deceive us about themselves. That Lord, we would be discerning about those who are saved, those who are lost, those whose profession of faith is in Jesus, and those who are relying on a heritage or a parentage or a church membership or anything but Jesus. And that we would be able then to help them and share with the gospel with them. And maybe you can use us to help open their eyes. But Father, whatever it is that the need is in our lives tonight, Lord, you know that you may have spoken to us about something completely different. Whatever that need is, may we respond to the Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. Amen.